Thank you for Pastor Shannon. We thank you for the word that you've given to her. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Okay. Nope, I see it. I need a little podium for my water.
Sure.
All right. Well, how is everybody this morning? Wait, you know what I need to do? You have to turn on my mic. Oops. I have the green light.
Leave it up.
Yes. All right. Well, again, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is always good to gather together.
Amen.
Always good. I'm going to put my glasses on. Make sure. And if they end up on the top of my head and I go looking for them, please just remind me. You know, where are my glasses?
Yeah.
Done that before. Okay, well, we're going to get right to it this morning. You know, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about God's thoughts and God's goodness. And the last time I spoke, I spoke about His thoughts towards us and how good they are. And then last week, Ralph shared in his message, he could continue with the idea about how good God's thoughts are towards us, but how good His ways are. And that we need to know His ways, not just know His deeds, which is what the children of Israel did. They knew His deeds, but not His ways. I heard a really interesting illustration kind of in regards to that idea. And it was, Frederick over here hates me. And he sees me as an enemy. That's kind of like, you know, and his thoughts towards me aren't good. He has kind of things, it's like, so I know God's way, or God's deeds in this, and what His word says. His word tells us, bless your enemy, pray for your enemy, go the extra mile for your enemy, right? So we know that. But to know God's thoughts in that, you sit down and Papa reveals, you know what, Frederick over there, he hates you because you remind him of his mother. And his mother was a drunk, and his mother beat him. And his mother, you know, had things. And his mother went to church. And so, you know, what's God? Who's God? Like, you Christian, you. And when I look at you, when he looks at you, he sees his mom because you kind of remind him of what she looked like. And so you sit there, and God says, my heart for Frederick is, I want to see him set free. My heart for Frederick is, I want to see him just know how much he's loved and accepted and how valuable he is. That's my father's heart. And that's knowing God's ways about somebody. Knowing, you know, when you start hearing somebody's story, your heart towards them changes. You start understanding things. And then the love that God has for Frederick starts flowing out of your heart. It goes beyond just doing the right thing because I'm walking in God's ways. I see God's ways. I see the glory God has for Frederick. And then I can love Frederick. I can pray for my enemy in his mind because he's a brother in my heart.
Yeah, check your mic.
Oh, okay.
Something's not right.
We didn't hear you playing much.
Back row maybe doesn't.
No, it's not, or the volume is not high or something.
Oh, it's okay. It's gone to a red light. Maybe I held it to me. Let's see.
Do you need a battery?
I just replaced the battery.
Hello? Good morning.
There we are. Did it go off again?
Just keep talking.
Oh, okay. Are you just adjusting from the back there then? Or did it? Okay.
No.
I don't think you plugged it in all the way initially.
No, it went to red again. I think I might have to take my batteries out every time. Okay, I'm going to go to Mike and I'm going to hand this off to whoever is willing and replace the battery. I'm going to pick up the blue one, guys.
I'll just keep going this way for right now. Because there's this tag on it that tells me when the last time I replaced my batteries was. I think it was last time I spoke, so got an issue happening there. All right. So we start knowing God's heart, His thoughts. And then understanding his ways. And they're just delightful. Well, what are our thoughts? And I see I've already got my title up there. What are our thoughts like? What's going on in our head? You know, and in our thoughts, there are so many things. What are our thoughts towards God? What are our thoughts towards our neighbors? What are all this? So today I'm going to kind of narrow it down because we can go so many places with it. And we're going to look at our thoughts when we're dealing with times of trial, hard times. And I want to start by taking us to our touchstone scripture here, which is from Colossians 3:2. It says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Good scripture. And we're going to look at it again. This is from the Passion Translation. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with distractions of the natural realm. Wow, hey? I love that. Feast on the treasures of all the heavenly realm. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. How many of you know that which is in heaven is more real than what's here on earth? Everything here on earth. Are you touching a chair right now? One day it won't exist. Just saying. You can come in and try and sit there and it won't be there. Kind of thing. The things of this world are passing away, is what scripture says. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the idea of heaven or heavens. Because when you study in scripture, there's three that are represented. And the first heaven is we find it in Genesis. And in Genesis 1, it talks about God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? No worries. We're going to try this again. Get myself tethered.
Three.
Or untethered, mm-hmm. I should say. Okay, I'm going to plug it in. Is it off?
Yep.
Green light. Oops. My head must be shrinking.
At least you're not puffed up.
Yeah, I don't have a puffed up head. Or maybe once I did and now it's shrinking now my fingers. So we're talking about the heavens. So the first heaven is, like I said, the heavens of God, the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth, and that's in Genesis. And then the second heaven, I'm sorry I didn't do a slide for this one, is where the prince of the air inhabits. Who's the prince of the air? Satan, right. Does he inhabit God's place?
No.
No, so when it's talking about the prince of heaven, we're going to go to Ephesians 6:12, if you're making notes, talks about evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 2:1-2 talks about the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work at those who are in disobedience. So it's talking about where Satan and his demons rule or exist. So this is the second heaven. And he's at work here on the earth in those who are disobedient. Does he have any access to the heavens where God is? No, he isn't there at all. He has been kicked out, and this is where he is until the day he and every one or everything that follows the devil will be thrown into hell. So is the devil in hell right now? No, that's kind of a theology, or not a theology, an idea that we're given, that the devil lives in hell right now. And that's going to be his end when he's finally there. So, then there's the third heaven, God's kingdom. And that's Ephesians 2:6 again. It says, Jesus is seated in the heavenly realms, right? And where are you seated?
With him.
With him in heavenly realms. Where are you seated? You're in the third heaven. That's where you are. That has all, and again, well, maybe I should go to the scripture, but we're going to get there in a minute. We're going to get there. I'll just not push it. So we understand there are three heavens. And Papa's desire for us is that we would not only know his ways, but we would have the mind of Christ. In fact, we do have the mind of Christ. And that we'd allow ourselves and allow the mind of Christ to manifest in our in our thinking and our thoughts. So we're talking about trials that come our way, and there's a purpose for us looking at those heavens. And first of all, let's go to the book of James. I hope I have the right one up here. Yes, okay. And so James 1, verses 2 to 4. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." How many are going, "Woohoo! I love trials"? So, what is this scripture talking about? Because sometimes we need to understand there's a bit of a breakdown here. There are trials that come our way. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you ever had a test in school? All of us that went to school. How many of you love tests? Okay, a few of you weirdos. Those, I always say, those that were academically inclined kind of loved it. I don't know if you, there's a show on called Young Sheldon, who's about a genius boy, and he loves tests. Oh boy, homework. It's just like, the rest of us are going, But we're not really, these kinds of trials that are James is talking about here are those kinds of things. Those that help you grow. Those that help mature you. Those of you who are sports people, bless you. But I hated gym. I'm not a sports person, couldn't throw a ball straight. And sports people who are really good at it kind of snickered in my realm at those of us, especially, well, felt like especially me, when you go to throw a ball like this that way and it ends up over there. It's just like, how did that happen? I couldn't bowl straight. But you know what? But if you persevere and you develop, there's training that comes, there's discipline that comes. Now, I'm going to be honest, I've never got myself disciplined in sports. Didn't really like it, so I didn't bother. But there are those that do, right? They discipline themselves, they train themselves, they go through the hardships and the trial, they push themselves. And so sometimes there, again, that's one thing. Sometimes there's hard things that you have to push through in order to gain at the end. So just in a practical sense, how many of you had to learn how to do laundry? It was great when mom, or maybe dad, did it for you, but eventually you had to learn, and there, you grew from that. And so, you know, now that you're an adult, you know how to do these things. And again, what about learning to budget and take care of your finances? Those are things we grow in, and some of us are still learning. You know, those types of things. And so there are tests or trials that come our way, even in with God, that I'm going to say this, they're godly trials, but they're not testings, okay? They're godly situations in which the Papa is just taking a step back, it's time for you to learn how to do your laundry here, right? There are areas he wants you to grow in. Now, why do we know these are from God? Or what? And again, remember, we've talked about discerning things. It's because, listen to what this says. It kind of tests your faith, okay? It causes your faith to grow and produce perseverance. And then perseverance helps you mature, become mature and complete. And what's the last statement? Lacking nothing. Does this sound like something that is being taken away from you? Or does it sound like it's maturing you, growing you, developing you? Might be that you have a neighbor move in next door who does really funny things in their yard, you know? And you have to, you know, perseverance, testing, oh my goodness. But you know what, when the Lord, when you let the Lord speak to your heart and say, "No, this is your neighbor, what did I tell you to do? Love my neighbor." And start praying for them and start, I have a very good relationship with my neighbor now. Wonderful things that happen. Does he do everything or they do everything that I love? No. But I've grown in my faith. It was a bit of a trial. And there's some other trials around that I'm walking through, and I'm sure all of us are in that thing. But God is with us, and he's growing us and maturing us so that we are blessed In the end, you are blessed in the end, lacking nothing. You're mature, you're complete. Love it. All right. So, when we experience these kinds of trials, what is our response to these things? How about we just submit to God? We need to submit to Him. What are you teaching me, Lord? Where am I growing? What do I need to let go of? You know, those types of things. Then there's another kind of trial that comes our way, and it's really the demonic, the devil. The devil is coming along. And his whole purpose is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. He desires nothing good for you. And really, he sends lots of fiery darts. And this is where we would step into what we call spiritual warfare. So I'm just going to stop here because we need to always look at this from this perspective. And We're going to go to Colossians 2, and again, I apologize. And I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why you are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ is seated, enthroned at a place of all power, honor, and authority. That's Colossians 3:2. Where are you seated? In heavenlies, in Christ. At a place of all power, honor, and authority. So, when the devil comes, is he above you or beneath you?
Beneath.
He's beneath you. He may have, I'm going to put it this way, power, or usurp power in the earthly realm, in the disobedient, but he doesn't have it in you, over you. As long as you recognize where you're seated, and this isn't just a theological thought, now seated with Christ in heavenly places, with all powers and principalities where? Under your feet. Now, so we know that there are times that we have to recognize the enemy is attacking us. Oops, so let's start with Ephesians here. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Not in God's kingdom, but they're in the heavenly realms. You therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, it should say, I think I cut it short, stand. So here we go. Here's our thoughts. Things are coming at us. This is a really good time to connect with Papa, connect with Holy Spirit, and for discernment, what's happening? What's going on here, Lord? If it is stealing, if it's killing something, if it's destroying something, is it from God? No. Not from God. God is the giver of only good gifts. Only good gifts. And in fact, in James, if you continue on in that first chapter, it talks about God does not test you. If you find yourself being tested and tried, God isn't doing it. So when we're talking about that first testing, it's like disciplining or growing you. When this kind of stuff happens, it's not from God, so don't be blaming God. Our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against the enemy. And these things, the fiery darts that are coming at us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine powers to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought that makes and make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once obedience is complete. So I've underlined it here in the second part. We're going to look at three areas here in this scripture. So we know that in this kind of trial, it's the enemy coming after us, trying to mess us up. And that can be evident, obvious. Sometimes it's just with words and thoughts in your own head. And sometimes it's thoughts that he's dropped in your head. Have you ever looked at the story of Eve, just before the fall? She wasn't thinking anything until the devil put a thought in her head. Right? She wasn't thinking. The devil put this thought in her head. Again, we're supposed to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient, but we're going to get there in just a second. We'll look at it a little more. So the three areas, we've got arguments here, pretenses, and thoughts. So let's look at the first one. Arguments or speculations is what some of the translations say. It's the, where your mind starts thinking, you start setting up an argument. But what if? When is the next bad thing? Things have been going so good, when's the next bad thing going to happen? I know how this is going to go. That kind of thinking, those kinds of arguments that we set up, we have power to demolish. Heavenly power, divine power to demolish this kind of stronghold. These kind of arguments get us treading around and around in a mill. You know, have you ever found that? You're walking around, you know, like I said, the what ifs. You get thinking one way and something negative. They're always negative. Okay, I haven't heard from somebody for so long. I wonder what's happened with them. Oh my goodness. They were supposed to call by such and such time. And we get thinking bad things. Maybe they were in an accident. Maybe they were hurt. Maybe they're, you know, those types of things. I know how this is going to be. I know what that other person is thinking. I know how they deal with things. I know if we go and talk about it, we're just going to not get anywhere because they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And we get caught in this thinking. We set up arguments in our heads, thinking in our heads. But yet we have this divine weapon to demolish Satan's attempts to do this to us. And this stronghold, when we look at stronghold, some words for it is also fortress, like a battlement tower. We build these with our thoughts. We build these strongholds in our being. We start thinking this way and giving into that thinking, and brick by brick, layer by layer, we build these strongholds. So then we get to a place where we find ourselves, like I said, treading round and round and round. You know, like the poor donkey or horse that walks around and round and treads the, crushing the grain, but there's a little trail that they've created. And that's what happens in our thoughts when we keep these thoughts going on and on and on. So then the next one we looked at, the next word was pretenses or lofty things or high thoughts. And these are things that are, we've set up bigger than God. This is a problem in our life that's bigger than God. We may say, you may say to yourself, you know what, I know that God will meet all my needs. But then you start worrying about where the rent's going to come from. Or how you're going to pay this bill or that bill. So that's fear. And as I heard, one quote is, fear is faith in the wrong kingdom. Fear is faith in the wrong kingdom. And so, again, when we set our thoughts up or our problem up higher than God, that it is bigger than God, God can't possibly handle it, these are our pretensions and lofty things. And again, but we have the divine power to pull down these strongholds. And then the last one, oh, there's that thing, okay, is just random thoughts. How about a thought that keeps worrying and worrying and worrying around in your mind? Ever had those where you can't even sleep because you're thinking about something so much? Ever been there? That's where your mind is telling you what you're going to think. How many of you know that you have control over your mind? You have control over your mind. You are not captive by your mind. You have been, you say this morning, I've been set free. My chains are gone. And so, again, we've got to, I like to look at it this way. It's like being at a bus stop, and the bus pulls up, and it says where it's going. And you have the choice whether you want to get on that bus or not. And if it's going a place you don't want to go, don't get on it. If your thoughts are taking you a place you don't want to go, don't get on it. Don't start entertaining it. Don't get engaging it. Stay off the bus and wait for the bus that you want to be on comes along. Take that thought captive. Say, no, I'm going up higher. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm going above those thoughts and these random things that are getting me going. They'll get taken care of. Don't get on the bus. You get to choose not to ride that bus. Okay. So let's... Don't get on the bus. Okay. Let's take a look at James here. So the James 4, 3 here tells us, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? The first trials were that these situations that came in our, that can be hard, that were from God, but bring us into good things, we know we're going to submit to that. Are we going to submit to the devil? No, we're not. It says, submit yourself then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when we've got these trials that are coming at us that we know are not of the Lord, that they are the devil. And again, Holy Spirit's there to say, don't you accept these fiery darts? Don't you accept these? All right. But resist the devil and he's going to flee you. Facts, don't give him, let his thoughts entertain you at all. Or you entertain his thoughts at all.
Shannon, that's 4:7, not 4:3.
Oh, I'm sorry. 4:7, pardon me. I'll make a correction. 4:7. Sorry about that. So submit yourself to God, resist the devil. Resist the devil. And this is a battle line. This is where a spiritual battle would take place, if you want to put it that way. But again, the battle is already won in you.
In Jesus.
In Jesus. And you're seated with who?
Jesus.
Where?
In heavenly places.
In the third heaven, far above all principalities and powers. Then that's where the battle comes. And so it's really not a battle quite at all, because the battle belongs to the Lord, and he's already won it for you. And so we defeat the enemy, again, by tearing down these strongholds in our thoughts with the Word of God. When we find ourselves trotting around the same way we've been thinking, we stop ourselves. Get off the bus, get off the treadmill, if I put it that way. And take it to the higher places. Go to higher places. So then there was one last thing that was in our scripture there that talked about, the high and lofty things, the pretenses, that type of thing, but we're on to the last one, our thoughts. Okay? Just our random thoughts. I'm going to take us to Romans 6:16 here. And it says, do you know that when you offer yourself to someone as an obedient slave, you are a slave to the one you obey? Whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or a slave or obedience, which leads to righteousness. That's an interesting scripture there. It's talking about what are you participating in. Excuse me. If you are participating in sin, things you know you shouldn't be, or if I heard one man put it this way, if you're participating in stupid, it's going to bite you. If you're participating in charging your credit card to its max, one day you're going to have to pay it back. Don't blame God when you see the bill arrive and you go, oh Lord, why am I doing that? Because you were participating in stupid. Okay? How about if you keep gossiping? One day it's going to bite you back. How about if you keep messing around on your spouse? One day it's going to bite you back. And when we participate in stupid, we create our own trials, right? You know, your husband or your wife wants to divorce you because you're messing around on them. People don't want to be your buddy anymore because you've been gossiping about them. Your credit card gets cut up because these things happen, and it's not God doing anything to you or your blessing of God not being upon you. It's you're participating in stupid, right? Put it that way. So what do we do when we've been participating in stupid? And trust me, Holy Spirit has probably been poking you all along saying, hello, What are you doing? Stop this. So if you find yourself with those kind of trials, and the Holy Spirit's been chatting with you, your response to that is to repent. Change your thinking and change your direction. Changing your thinking will change your direction. I want to take us to this next verse here. This is verse 17. This is what it says after that. But thanks be to the God that though you used to be slaves to sin. What is it? Are you a slave to sin now?
No.
You used to be a slave to sin, so don't obey it. You have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Has God's patterns claimed your allegiance? Has God's way claimed your allegiance? Is your heart for God and the things of God and His ways? You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Even if you are participating in this stuff, repent. You're still God's. Repent. Change your mind. If stuff is coming at you and you know it's not the devil and you know God's not teaching you something, you know, put you into circumstances that you get what I mean. You realize that I've been participating in some stupid, repent. Change your mind. Papa's there with open arms. Come on back, son. Come on back, daughter. I have good things in store for you. He isn't blessing the cesspool, okay? If you want to mess around in the cesspool, there's no blessing in the cesspool. Come on out. You've been called out of that. Jesus has cleaned you up and made you righteous and holy. So come on back. We repent, and I love the word repent. I've come to so appreciate it. Because it takes me to better places when I've been stupid, put it that way. Repent. Our last scripture we're going to close with right here is from Colossians. We've already read it, but we're going to put it together and just use it as our focus. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ is seated, enthroned, at a place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on the treasures of heavenly realm, and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with distractions of the natural realm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. All right, would you stand with me and we will pray. Okay. Father, again, we give you thanks and praise and honor. Father, we thank you that in the name of Jesus, we have been seated in heavenly places. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you because of you. We are now seated in the third heaven. We're seated far above all of these trials. And again, Lord, we thank you that you have given us power and authority to speak into our lives and experience having the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. I just pray for everyone here that they go blessed and just knowing how to take captive those thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.